Hello and welcome to the Echo Chamber podcast. My name is Tony Groves and we are still in the general election campaign mode. We have a very limited number of tickets left to the live show on Sunday evening. Great to see so many people. Delighted to see that it's been a great reception. Just to let you know, some of the people I can confirm, some of the people I don't really want to confirm yet, but we can tell you that Owen O'Brien is going to be there, Richard Boyd Barrett is going to be there, there's going to be representatives from the other parties as well, and I just don't want to let the cat out of the bag on one or two. Head off to Eventbrite, you'll see under the Tortoise Shack a handful of tickets left. It'll be a great night.
Yeah, and look, patrons, we need more patrons. We always need more patrons. Head into the website there and sign up. Thanks very much. Tony, straight away, that poll last night, wow.
Well, was it well? Like, it put the... It certainly rattled more of the people who are confirmed, wanted this just to be a simple presidential election of Leo versus Micheál. But when you looked at it from, again, I said it on the podcast yesterday, they hadn't got their finger on the pulse. They were inside Leinster House listening to gossips within the corridors of Leinster House. And when you continue to do that, I'll go back to what Vincent Brown said about, he said, you spent 3 weeks in Leinster House and 1 week with Rita Fagan out in Dolphin. Yeah. If you get your arse out of there, you'll find out what the actual electorate are thinking about and what matters to them. We have two, we're not served well by people who just depend on certain sources. That's not to say that there's not a role for that. There of course is, but they also then, they simplify things to suit a narrative that they're being sold. So unfortunately, they've missed out on that. It's game on. That's
yeah,
the one that
it's absolutely game on. And Dunleary, Fine Gael have come out spitting at RTE, saying that they sneer at Fine Gael and that Fine Gael don't get fair coverage, which is just an absolute gobsmacker to the rest of us.
Well, first of all, how stupid were you to share that on a WhatsApp group and think that it wasn't going to leak? And second of all, to think that, you know, I'd say it comes as a great shock to many in the media that they're comrades of mine and yours, Martin. But I, for one, welcome all solidarity, brothers and comrades. On you come, sisters, all of you, join the revolution.
I know, but it is ridiculous to accuse RTE of having a bias against Fine Gael. It is completely ridiculous.
Well, hang on, I just go back to the worst piece of optics that I saw in the last 12, 18 months was when the Taoiseach sat in the front of Dancing with the Stars beside Dee Forbes, looking very much like they were having a good night out. And I just thought to myself, as a national broadcaster, I thought the optics of that were terrible. It sent the wrong message to people and it helped him furnish his brand as this kind of individual, and RTE should have known better. I thought Dee Forbes should have known better. I thought it was bad taste. And it leads me to think, you know, when you see when we're talking about why they won't have Mary Lou on the debate, they can give you the reasons, but you just know that if it was the shoe was on the other foot and it was Fianna Fáil or Fine Gael,
they'd find a way to be inclusive. That's yeah. Without a doubt. Now, the other thing I want to say about it, Tony, is I'm very heartened by that poll result. It shows that Ireland is not heading down the same path as the US or the UK, and that hard right rhetoric doesn't sell in this country. It doesn't sell.
We It's a poll. Again, I want to caveat all the caveats you attach to a poll. Are we encouraged? Are we excited? Yeah, we're excited because we're always talking about when the opportunity is going to come. This is an opportunity.
This is the opportunity. Yeah,
I've seen Sinn Féin have launched their housing policy. It's 10,000 houses over 100,000 houses over 5 years. I'm hearing that people are saying it's not achievable. It's too ambitious. And that's, we've forgotten that only 10 years ago we were building 80,000 to 90,000 houses per year, not in 5 years. Can we skill up? Can we ramp up? You can come in with all the nonsense you want. But I sat beside you, Brennan. He said, you give us the resources and the funds, we will ramp up, we will skill up at scale. It can be done, absolutely. Do I think it's a winning policy? Time will tell, but I do think it's great that it still looks like it's going to be a housing and homelessness budget election.
Don't forget too, Tony, pensions is fast becoming a huge issue. Very, very quickly, people are beginning to cotton on that they are going to work till they drop. If they don't work till they drop, they're going to be heading into a social welfare office to sign on. That after, what is it, nine months, that their social welfare can be means tested and cut off. And Regina has now come out and said that there's going to be kind of this bridging thing, but it's not.
So like every Gravo comes out, the Gravo always can carry the day. They're terrified, Martin, and it's insane that in a Europe and that we're talking about reducing working hours and increasing quality of living, we're the only country, and they keep coming back on pensions time bomb, and you're going, it's not a pensions time bomb, it's a mismanagement time bomb, it's as you point out, it's
failure to collect PRSI time bomb, yeah, Tony.
It's all of these things. These things are all related. You cannot tell me, you know, that we see the Taoiseach yesterday giving Apple an award for 40 years in Ireland, and the collector and auditor general saying that they paid an effective tax rate of less than 2%. I've seen people point out it was actually much less than that. It was, you know, 0.5%. And this is as recently as 2015. These things are all linked. If we don't take in the money, we can't pay these. But then you don't have to say the burden is actually going on the people who are actually not getting the services. You're just going to work later. That's Animal Farm type stuff.
It completely is Animal Farm stuff. And people will not stand for their pensioners being at 70. Jesus Christ, that difference between 65 and 68, those 3 years are not quality years for a lot of people. Mm. They really are not. It's when your health starts to go downhill, Tony.
What we're seeing as well is the health is coming up to health.
Yeah.
What you also saw, the actual GPs are out making noise.
Yeah.
They're calling out the lies that are in the manifesto pledges or what they've done, and they're claiming
Susan
done.
Mitchell had a fact check on that figure of 1,000 new GPs, and it's simply untrue. It's simply untrue. And I think, again, I come back to this, we've got to keep saying, if it's a lie, it's a lie. Don't be afraid to call it out.
I got the best comment was on a political little WhatsApp group that I'm on, and I won't name names, but it was about Claire Byrne last night, and I have to use it because I won't credit them because they'll kill me. But they said, watch Claire Byrne last night, and it really was somewhere between a confederacy of dunces and a chorus of lawyers. I'm going back to bed.
Yeah, I was, when they were doing the little explainer of the poll, I was wryly smiling. They really had to force the words out that Sinn Féin are now neck and neck in the running with the two main parties. I think there's a shock to what we call centrism. I think they are now beginning to realise that the Overton window is not going to move right in Ireland. There is no way it's going to move right. So this is the beginning of the second week, Tony, and we're going to see a lot of bones coming on policies now. We'll keep a close watch on them.
You're going to see bones on the policy. I'd like to see meat on those bones.
But we will do our best to keep you all up to date, so keep in touch.
One other thing that happened shortly, just before we came on, actually, was Brendan Howland was talking about how it would be crazy of them not to talk to all parties, you know, and who he literally made the valid point that we all keep saying, who are you to rule out the voice of the voter? So I think it's encouraging that they've seen the polls, they've seen there's maybe an opportunity here, and that's just the first sort of wink at the guys that there may be conversations happening post-election that me and you, Martin, are kind of hoping that are going, you know, let's talk to one another before we talk to them, if that makes sense. Following up, lads, Paul Murphy coming straight up, and then after that I think it's Una Dunphy. We will keep doing these short interviews to let people give them their platform. Hit us up patreon.com/tortoiseshack. Price of a cup of coffee. We need the support. Thank you.
I'm joined by Paul Murphy. Paul, first question for you, Paul, is why did you get into politics?
I mean, I never intended to get into electoral politics. As a teenager, I looked around the world and I saw the massive injustice that existed, poverty that existed side by side with massive wealth, the wars that were being driven towards in terms of the Iraq War when I was probably 18, 2003. And I became a socialist activist to try and fundamentally transform our country and our world and have a society where people's needs come before the interests of profit. So that's what got me into politics in a broad sense. Electoral politics is never something that I intended to get into. And in a sense, I got into by accident. When the Socialist Party, when we won Joe Higgins' this European election season 2009, I then became Joe's parliamentary assistant, moved to Brussels, worked closely with Joe. And then whenever Joe got re-elected to the Dáil, I was on the replacement list. made sense for me to take over. So I became a member of the European Parliament in 2011 to 2014, where, I mean, I think it was largely unnoticed that Ireland, as most things in the European Parliament, is due to how the media treats it. But we were able to do, you know, really important things. I was part of the Freedom Flotilla to Gaza. We highlighted human rights abuses in places like Sri Lanka, Kazakhstan. And I was also able to speak up about things like the property tax, use the platform of the European Parliament on that. So then in 2014, I wasn't re-elected really quite well, but I wasn't re-elected to the European election. Then I was back in the branch that I had traditionally been in the Socialist Party, and then in the Anti-Austerity Alliance in Dublin South West. And then the by-election happened in October. And obviously we were able to use the election as a big opportunity for this rising movement against the water charges to strike a big blow against the water charges, strike a big blow for the organisation of mass not payments. And, you know, it summed it up perfectly. The day I was elected, the day the votes were counted, was the first day of the mass anti-water charges protest, the 11th of October 2014. And so that propelled me into the Dáil, and then I was re-elected in February of 2016. And then, obviously, subsequently, we did manage to defeat the water charges. Obviously, they'll try to come back with them, no question. But that's how I've ended up involved in socialist electoral politics.
Thanks for that, Paul. Paul, if you get re-elected again, and it's a very tight constituency you're in, what do you hope to achieve?
I hope that we can do what we did on the water charges, which was build a mass movement from below, which forced change successfully. And even though we didn't have a left-wing government, I hope we can do that on the housing crisis. I hope we can do that on the health crisis. And I hope we can do that on the climate crisis.
Okay.
The
way the numbers are falling, it's a very strange election going on by the polls yesterday. Where do you stand on a broad left coalition if the numbers come up?
I'm for it. I think that it's a real tragedy that in Irish politics we're on a kind of merry-go-round of Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael, Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael, Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael, various coalition partners. They represent the rich, they represent the landlords, they represent the developers, they represent the people who are getting wealthy from the crises that affect the vast majority of people in our country, and they're not going to be part of a solution. So I think those parties that, you know, say that they oppose the establishment, say that they oppose austerity, like Sinn Féin, the Greens, Social Democrats, they should all rule out coalition with Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael. And I think that would have a big effect in terms of the dynamic of the election. Because, I mean, it is incredible. In the media, the whole thing is portrayed as Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael, the choice between Martin and Radker. But you go ahead and meet the people I'm meeting, and everybody hates Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael. Obviously, some of them are still voting Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael, and not ruling that out. But there's a huge constituency in Ireland who want to break that cycle, not to reinforce that cycle. So we think we should fight for a left-wing government. If the numbers were there for a government excluding Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael, we would sit down and discuss with those parties and to see if a programme for government could be agreed. The kind of red lines we'd have for that programme for government would be building 100,000 public homes, creating a national health service, introducing free, green and frequent public transport, full separation of church and state, moving to public ownership of key sections of the economy so we can plan for a transition to a zero carbon economy. If there wasn't agreement on, you know, those kind of red lines for us for a left government, well then we would use our votes to allow that government to come to power regardless. You know?
So
to
you
allow a non-Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael Taoiseach to come to power and then vote on a case by case basis in the interest of ordinary people. So we won't stand in the way if there's an opportunity to have a government including Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael. If there is an agreement on programme, even if there is an agreement on programme, we will be supporting, allowing that government to come to power.
So you'd have you'd agree to a kind of a supply and confidence arrangement if the numbers fell that way?
Yes, absolutely. If there wasn't agreement on programme, and, you know, the core things that we would be saying are essential: separation of church and state, free, green and frequent public transport, building a mass social housing building program, an Irish NHS, and public ownership of key sections of the economy. In any case, even without an agreement, we would allow such a government to come to power. We wouldn't stand in its way. If it was, you know, we'd vote against any nomination for Taoiseach from Fianna Fáil or Fine Gael. And then we'd vote on a case-by-case basis.
Okay, last thing, Paul. You're in a very tight constituency, as I said before. It's a very, very competitive constituency. What do you want to say to the people of your constituency?
Well, like you said, it's very tight. I think the Greens are going to take a seat in the constituency, the five-seater. And then I think the final seat will be between me and Catherine Sapone. And so I'd appeal to people, if they want to keep a left socialist voice for people power in the Dáil, to give me their number one vote. I'd appeal to them to transfer their second vote to Sandra Fay, standing also as part of Solidarity, People Before Profit. Because I think that having the socialist left in the Dáil, for example, over the last 5 years, has made a real difference to people's lives. Many of the good things that happened in the last 5 years didn't happen because Leo Varadkar or Fine Gael care about ordinary people. They don't, but they happened because they were pushed from below. On water charges, on repeal, on marriage equality. And the socialist left being a voice for those movements, helping to organise those movements, was a very important part of that. So I hope that people will return to the Dáil to continue that work.
Thanks very much for taking the time to talk to me, Paul, and we wish you the best for the election.
I'm delighted to be joined on the line by PPP candidate for Waterford, Una Dunphy. Una, how are you?
I'm great, thanks.
Listen, this is quite funny. The power of Twitter. Hey, we have a gap in the schedule, and can anybody drop on? And Una, you were quick to react. Una, why are you running?
Why am I running? Well, yeah. I'm running because I think Waterford needs a strong left voice. I've been involved in the trade union movement and community groups for a good few years now. And I think that we need to shake up what our representation is in Waterford. And I ran in 2016 and got 1,600 first preference votes. So I want to build on that.
You've got you were a teacher for 20 years. You've been working in the system. You say you need a strong left voice for Waterford. What do you mean by that? Like, what's your plans?
Well, I suppose what we've come through in the past, successive governments really, but in the past number of years, we've had a stymied kind of democracy where we've had Fianna Fáil in government really with Fine Gael. And what we need is we need to have a stronger voice in opposition or in government, but it was just stymied over the past while, and I think we need to stop that and make sure that that doesn't happen again. I wouldn't put an awful lot of hope in polls, but I mean, there was a significant drop yesterday, which does give some people a little chink of optimism that we could have some hope to break through. Also, we have, particularly in Waterford, John Halligan has retired, and that leaves things wide open. Mm. So I'm hoping to gain a lot of those votes, which originally started off at the left, but slided off in a very strange direction more recently.
I think you make a very fair point, and we've seen some of that. The demographic of how votes have gone. It's in the US they refer to the Obama voters who voted Trump, you know? But I do also agree that obviously that poll, and it is, you know, with all the caveats that you throw at polls, nonetheless, it is an opportunity there. Post-election, and we spoke to João Pina in the Socialist Party in Portugal last week, and he spoke about how it was post-election that when they realised that the numbers allowed it, that they then went for that left unity government. Is that something that you'd be interested in?
Yeah, absolutely. And I've been answering on Twitter over the past week, like, how people are knocking the left being so divided. I mean, after the last election, we didn't get that confidence and supply for quite some time, even though the parties who were proposing it are basically identical to each other. So I think I have experience anyway of a health campaign. I've been involved in the Still Waiting health campaign. And when we were trying to get TDs on board, we got more than 40 TDs on board because it was just obvious that we all agreed that this is the kind of healthcare system. Sláinte care needed to be pushed. It wasn't ideal, but it was much better than what we have there. And people signed up. And like, if you can get a grouping like 40 for a healthcare campaign, national healthcare campaign, I think you can work on an awful lot of other things. We saw it earlier in Right to Change and Right to Water, how when we met up, we found that we had more in common than, you know, against each other. So I think, you know, we do have that kind of focus now. And I think that anything can happen. But I think from yesterday's poll, what I take from it, it was only a 2% drop, but it's the drop of the stranglehold Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael have over the country and how that they used to be 90%, 80%. They're now down around the 50% mark, which means there's huge scope. And I think that that has to incentivize those who don't vote to see, well, actually, you know, my vote might make a change. And if people could come out and vote, we could have a big change in what would be the political domain of Ireland.
I think that's a very good point, because we haven't spoken about the, you know, I'm not bothering voting, that large cohort of people.
Like, huge.
And even within that poll, 28% of people were still at that, you know, sure, what's the point kind of attitude within 1,000 people that they spoke to. Your constituency, just as a broad thing, obviously you've got, you're talking about Waterford, you're talking about the last decade and how things are. How are things now, and what is your message for that change that you want to talk about?
Well, one of the main issues here is the hospital, and how, I mean, that's why I would have got involved in health, but I thought it's like we have a few single issue candidates here who are nice people, but like we've seen through Harty from Clare, how he was even a doctor and couldn't get things done. So I think a single issue candidate and independents, you know, are a little bit too useless when they're in the door because they can't deliver. So I think it's important to look at the hospital and look at, say, what Sláinte Care could do for Waterford. It would make it a regional entity, which it hasn't become since James O'Reilly, bless him, had a broken it all up into the groupings. That has been hugely detrimental to Waterford as a southeast provider for the 511,000 people who live here. Cardiac care is the most obvious one, but we also have the CAMHS and mental health and every waiting list under the sun. So we seriously need to get the Sláinte Care going, and I would hope that I would lobby with Still Waiting in the future to get that to happen. That couldn't happen because we had a blockage from Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael. They pretended to support Sláinte Care, but again, with their government, stymied everything, so nothing happened. So that's hugely important for Waterford. Also important for Waterford is they were talking about the North Keys development, but as these developments and as our short-term planning does, they're just focusing solely on the commercial interest, which, you know, we should have learned from our mistakes of the past that that's not the way to go. It's not the model to follow. So what PPP Waterford would propose is that we would have a huge development in housing and in infrastructure, and particularly light rail around the Keys, so that that would be our long-term plan, and that it would be sustainable through a development of the city to grow like it should be growing. We haven't grown because we haven't got investment, but we also haven't got investment in civic amenities, in roads, in housing, and in public transport, which is hugely important in the environmental situation we're in at the moment.
And the last thing for me now, do you feel that we should, that this election is the opportunity that we have? You know, we don't have to wait for the next election cycle. Can we make the breakthrough this time?
Well, it's always possible to make the breakthrough. We just need the people to have that faith and to get out and vote, as you said, the 28% who didn't, and they can make the difference. If we can get that message across, I think we can absolutely get people within the Dáil who will see beyond propping up a Fianna Fáil or a Fine Gael government and get to work on making a progressive political entity that will see Ireland moving forward.
Una Dunphy, thank you so much for your time, and the best of luck.
Thank you so much.
Not at all. Take care.
Okay. Bye-bye. Cheers. Thanks, Tony. Bye.